Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
We're just glad you're in the house of the Lord. These are strange times. They're surreal times. But I kind of picture us as being in the lion's den. This is our lions. This is our fire furnace. This is our Philippian jail. And we're doing really well, praise God. We're not giving in. We're going on, and we're still praising God. And I realize everybody can't come, and we don't begrudge them for that. But when everybody's able to come back, we want this thing to still be just working like it always does. And they can walk right in and not miss a beat. Amen? So thank you very much for being here. And something else I'd like to, I'm taking a little of my preaching time, but something else I'd like to say, we have one janitor. We normally have three custodians. We have one. His name is Aaron. He's somewhere right now in this building. I don't know how many hours he's working, but this building looks exactly the same as it did when we had three. This guy is amazing. Thank you very much, Aaron. And then I know the temple ministry, Brother Warren Inman and the temple ministry are stepping up and helping him when they can, and we thank you for that. And anything you can do, we greatly appreciate it. And we solicit other volunteers that would join the temple ministry, and Brother Warren will help you realize what you can do to help us keep all these grounds and all this building going. And then the last part of that is we are diligently searching for full-time custodians. And so if you're interested or you know anybody or you wish your son-in-law would get a job, this is a great opportunity for you. Praise God. Hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July. And praise God, this is still a great country. I know that we need to make some changes, and we're working on those, but we can't tear it down. We got to make those changes. No matter what those changes are, we need to make those changes. But we need to work together and make this the nation that it can be. And it's still the greatest bastion for freedom in the world. And the fact that I am where I am, where I came from, is pretty amazing, and it wouldn't happen anywhere but in the United States of America, praise God. So I hope you had a good 4th of July, and we always remember those people that have made it possible, those people that have served and shed their blood, that we might have the freedom we have. And we praise God for that. But we still believe that not only for Living Way Church, and not only for you as an individual, but for America, we still believe the best is yet to come. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8, verse 43 and 44. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately, her issue of blood stanched. I want to talk to you today on the subject, the three things that touch Jesus. You may be seated. And if all the opportunities and situations and problems we have in America, if America would touch Jesus as a group, as a nation, our problems would be healed and would be healed rather quickly. Amen? And so when we talk about touching Jesus, we have to realize that when you touch Christ, there is a release of all that power. And how much power does he have? The Bible said he has all authority. He is almighty. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I am he which was, which is, and which is to come. I am the Almighty. So when you touch Jesus Christ, you have access to everything that was, is, and shall be. You have the power of the Creator at your fingertips when you touch Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing is that he is no respecter of persons, that anybody and everybody has the ability to touch him. And with the advent of the gospel, it becomes even more accessible. The veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, which means you do not have to have a priest, or you don't have to have an apostle, but you can touch Jesus Christ for yourself. And it's very, very simple, but yet it is missed by most people. And the story is very simple. The woman had an issue of blood that could not be stopped. And the Bible teaches us that it was a life-threatening event in her life that she dealt with every day. And she did everything she knew to do. She went to every doctor that was recommended. She apparently was a woman of some means, but she had exhausted all of her financial resources. The Bible said she had spent all that she had. But the Bible said not getting better, but rather worse. She had an issue. I don't care who you are in life. You're going to have an issue. And you're not going to have just one issue, maybe one issue at a time. Sometimes several issues. You're going to have issues in life. And some people feel like that's a hindrance to your access to God. The truth is, it's the door. Because the Lord tells us to cast all our cares on Him. And so what you have to realize, these are my issues. That's one of the deceptions of youth. When you're young, I was talking to somebody the other day about my age, and we were talking about how invincible we felt when we were young. We drove recklessly. We did stupid things. It's amazing that I'm still alive. Because you feel like you're immortal, like you're invincible, and you do not confront the real issues you have in life. But as you get older, you begin to recognize there are things in my life that I can't resolve. There are things in my life that I just don't have the answer to. There are things that I cannot buy the answer to. I can't find a professional that can resolve those. That's where this woman was. She was at her point in life where she realized that she had issues that she could not resolve, and nobody else that she knew could resolve them. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She dealt with a stigma. Not only was it a physical condition, but it was a social stigma of uncleanness. And she had been shunned for 12 years. Nobody would have anything to do with her. She spent all she had. And so suddenly she realizes, I cannot fix this. This is where everybody has to come to if you're going to come to God. You have to realize you cannot fix it yourself. That's the reason why self-righteousness is such a problem in people's lives. As long as you feel like you're right, as long as you feel like you have the answer, you will make the attempt to solve the problem, and the problem will never rightly be resolved because you feel like you can fix it. She finally realized there is nobody, there is nothing I can do to resolve my problem, to solve my issue, to get my healing. But the good news is the Bible said that she heard about Jesus. But the number one thing that you have to do to touch Jesus is to become hopeless. You have to lose all hope in this world, that this world is not the answer. It doesn't matter how much money you can accumulate. I watched last night for a brief moment a little deal they had on Casey Kasem. You remember he was the great disc jockey. He died with $100 million, but his life and his suffering was unbelievable, though he had $100 million. It doesn't matter how much money you can accumulate. It doesn't matter what degrees that you are able to afford. And you might get a PhD or have a couple PhDs, and still you realize there are issues in my life, and you have to realize that hopelessness is there. There is simply no hope. You must become hopeless to touch the Lord. Hopelessness is an essentiality for touching Jesus Christ. One translation in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. You remember Jonah. He had a real problem. He's in the belly of a whale. He's got a real problem. But the one translation said it this way. When I had lost all hope, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. At some point in your life, you've got to be like the prodigal. The Bible said when he came to himself, that means he lost all hope and realized that he had to go back to the Father's house. And before you can touch Jesus, you literally have to lose all hope that this world will resolve your problem or satisfy your longing. The Bible said in Acts 27:20, talking about Paul when he was a prisoner on the ship being taken to Rome, he said, when all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. There has to be a point in your life when you realize this is not going to work out. If I don't get divine intervention, this is not going to work out. It's going to destroy me. And Paul was there. And the Bible said, suddenly an angel stood beside him and said, be of good cheer. Friend, before the angel comes, I promise you, you have to lose all hope in this world. The Apostle Paul would address that even in a religious tone. And he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. That would be one of my critiques of the preaching that I hear on television. I hear these preachers and they continually talk about having better marriages. They talk about better relationships. They talk about if you will give and you will sow, you'll do better financially. They do all kinds of things. But invariably, their message is Christ only in this world. They forget to talk about the fact that we are very, very limited, and we're not going to be here for very long. And so Paul could rejoice in all the things he went through because his hope in Christ was not in this world only, but in the world to come. No matter what happens, I'm going to be with Christ. The Bible said this woman suffered for 12 years. The number 12 means completion, but it also means to end something. She had come to the end of her rope, the end of her ingenuity, the end of her attempts, the end of everything she knew to do. Somebody said, when you come to the end of the road, you've arrived at God's front yard. Friend, I want to tell you that the best place you can be is the end of your hope and say, I realize I can't do this myself. I'm going to turn to God. But the Bible said when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Friend, I'm going to tell you it's an amazing thing when the scales roll from your eyes and suddenly there is a clear and clarion revelation that God is my hope, that there is hope, but it's not in men. It's not in things. It's not in money. It's not in jobs. It's not in clothes. It's not in houses. It's not in cars. But my hope is in the Lord. That's an amazing dawning day. It's a day of revelation. It's a day where your life will be changed forever when you realize everything I need is in Jesus Christ. Because, friend, I promise you, somebody can take away everything you have. The government can take away in taxes. Thieves can take it away in robbery. But friend, when you get your hope in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, nothing will separate me from that. Oh, friend, my hope is in Jesus Christ. You and I have never lived in days like we are living now. But I love to come out here, even though the crowd is sparse compared to what it always is. I see such hope. I see such faith. I see such joy in the eyes of those that know the Lord as I know. You see, it's a wonderful thing to be a pastor at Living Way Church because not everybody, but a lot of somebodies have the same faith that I have, the same hope I have, the same experience I have. And it's a wonderful thing to come out of the depression of our society right now and say, thank God, I'm dwelling together with people of like precious faith, and especially this crowd. You are the structure of this church. You are the real guts of this church. You're the real power of this church. The people that will not give in and say, I know what's going on is ferocious and I know it's tough, but this I know, my hope is in Christ Jesus only. But let me explain to you, when you find new hope, the devil will see that with new hope, there comes new hindrances, new problems, because the devil wants you to be hopeless. He wants you to have hope in the world because that's a deception. But he wants you to be hopeless as far as divinity is concerned. And so when you discover a new hope in Christ Jesus, the devil is going to bring all kinds of hindrances. There's always going to be a press. This is not talking about the news media. This is talking about a multitude of people so great that they throng Jesus, that they've pressed Jesus. She literally could not get to Christ. And it was difficult for her because she had had this issue of blood loss for 12 years. No doubt she was physically weak, and yet she had made up her mind that she was going to touch Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this, no matter how weak you may be, that's the reason why the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong, because that strength does not come from your flesh, it comes from the Lord himself. God said, if you will try, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the ability. And she was very weak, but God was with her because the Father could see that she was trying to touch Jesus. If you make up your mind, you're going to touch Jesus. I can tell you there are going to be hindrances, and those hindrances will normally come in the form of people. And your friends and those that are close to you have the greatest effect on you. And so the devil will find the people that are the weakest link in your chain, and he will use those people to try to hinder you from getting to Christ and touching him. because the last thing the devil wants you to do is touch Jesus. Because when you touch Jesus, there is going to be a release of the virtue of Christ that flows back into you, and you're literally not going to be the same person. Paul's testimony was that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man has passed away, and there's a new man in his place. Why? Because I touched Jesus, and the virtue of Christ has flown into me. But when she got ready to touch Jesus, it was not easy. There was a crowd that was between her and Christ. There's always going to be somebody you've got to get over, you've got to get under, you've got to get around, you've got to get through to get to Christ. Because the devil's going to see that there is a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child, a friend, a brother, a sister, an employer. Somebody's always going to be there trying to keep you from getting to Christ. But you've got to say nothing, nobody, no way. I'm going to touch Jesus Christ. I am hopeless as far as this world is concerned, but I have found a new target for my hope, and my hope is in Christ and Christ alone. And so the Bible teaches that she came in her weakened condition. It would not be surprising if she didn't have to come down to her hands and knees and crawl and get through that crowd. It would not be surprising, knowing people as we know people, that some was shoving her aside. Somebody was stepping on her fingers. Somebody was cursing her. Somebody was degrading her. She was unclean. Somebody didn't want her to touch them. And so they were doing all kinds of things to prevent her. But friend, once you make up your mind that you're going to touch Jesus, God has made it possible that no devil out of hell, no human being with great authority can stop you. If you make up your mind you're going to touch Jesus, hell itself cannot stop you. And that's the reason why Living Way Church has the rabid faith that we have. We will not be stopped. We're not going to quit singing. We're not going to quit praising. We're not going to quit giving. We're not going to quit going. Oh, there are a lot of hindrances and obstacles, but that doesn't matter. We are sold out. Jesus Christ is our hope and our only hope. In Him we live. In Him we have. In Him we move. In Him we are. He is our all to all. Would you give Jesus some praise in this house today? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She reached out and touched Jesus' garment. And somebody said, she reached out and went for the hem. No, friend, she wasn't trying to get the hem. That was all she could get, was just the hem. That's how close she was to missing touching Him at all. But Jesus will always make sure that you get enough of Him, that it will change your life and stop your issue no matter what it was. And then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the Bible said, all denied. This crowd that was a throng was pressing Him, was all so sensitive to who Jesus was and what He was and the purpose for which He came. Jesus Christ came that we might all touch Him. But when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" the Bible said they all denied, said, "We didn't touch Him." They were so ignorant and so insensitive, they denied and said, "Oh, it wasn't me." They should have all been saying, "It was me. I touched you, Jesus." But they did not realize what would happen when you touch Jesus Christ with a purpose. When all denied, Peter and the disciples that were with Him said, "Master, the multitude has thronged Thee and pressed Thee. Why would you ask who touched you? We've all jostled up against you today. Everybody's brushed against you. Why are you asking who touched you?" The Apostle Peter and his disciples were like the multitude of then and today. And that is that you can jostle up to Him in theological terms, but that's not what He's wanting. Jesus Christ is wanting the intimate, personal touch of seeking Him and say, "I want to know You as my Lord and my Savior, not as a theologian, not as a rabbi, but You are the solver of my problem. You are the solver of my issue. You are the Lord God incarnate, and I want to touch You." Who touched me? All denied. And the disciples made the mistake thinking that the whole multitude had touched Him. It's never the multitude, never the multitude that touches Jesus. It's always one person that touches him. It's always a boy with a lunch that touches Jesus. It's always a woman with an alabaster box that touches Jesus. It's always a Bartimaeus with a loud voice that touches Jesus. It's always a woman with an issue that touches Jesus. It's always a short man that climbs a tall tree that touches Jesus. It's always one. And so we are down to a small crowd here today compared. And so to assume that everybody here is going to touch Jesus is probably out of the realm of truth. But the truth is that somebody here, just one person, can touch Jesus. And when one person touches Jesus, everybody benefits. You say, oh, I wish America would pray. Well, friend, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to pray alone. I wish America would love. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to love alone. I wish everybody would reconcile. That's not going to happen. You're all by yourself. But if one person can touch Jesus, a story will unfold that will affect millions. From this one story of one woman touching Jesus 2,000 years ago, millions have read this story, have been affected, have been saved, and been healed. I tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, if one person in this building would get down on all fours, would press through the crowd and avoid the hindrances and say, I don't care what anybody else does in these trying times, I'm going to touch Christ. I'm going to get a hold of the hem of his garment. I'm going to sing like I've never sung. I'm going to praise like I've never praised. I'm going to intercede like I've never interceded before. I'm going to touch Jesus Christ. I promise you, the virtue of God would flow backward to you. And when it begins in you, it's going to affect other people. And suddenly something great is going to be happening in America, in this church, and wherever you are. Hastening to a close, there are three things that touch Jesus. If you're going to touch Jesus Christ, you must have an issue. But friend, I want to tell you, it's kind of like the preacher that was preaching, and he said, in the last days, when people are lost and they go to hell, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the old man sitting on the front row said, Pastor, I don't have any teeth. He said, teeth are provided. Friend, I want to tell you, you don't have to search for an issue. Issues are provided. You can try as hard as you want to avoid the issues of life. They're going to come to you. You're going to have sick children. You're going to have divorces. You're going to have health crisis. You're going to have financial dilemma. You're going to have hatred that you didn't ask for. Issues are going to come. And you have to realize that issues do not separate you from God. They draw you to God. Cast all your cares on me. The Pharisees, those religious zealots of Christ's day, which were one of his number one enemies, they would say to him when he came to state his purpose and declare his mission, they would say unto him, we are whole, we are perfect, we are religious, we are righteous, we don't need you. I see people today carrying signs today, we don't need your Christ. They're the Pharisees. Anyone that does not know their need of Christ is dealing with real idolatry and real failure in their mind. Everybody needs Jesus. But when the Pharisees said, we don't need you, Jesus said unto them, tongue in cheek, he saith unto them, they that are whole need no need of a physician, and they that are sick don't need a doctor. I came not to call the righteous, but sinner to repentance. Friend, the worst thing that you can say is, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. So many people think that good works are the answer. No matter how many good works that you do, the Bible said you've fallen short of the righteousness of Almighty God. Everybody, rich, poor, black, white, brown, yellow, male, female, successful, failing, healthy, sick, everybody needs Jesus Christ. He is the answer to every problem. He is the solution to every issue. And friend, what you have to realize in your life, I have some issues. You cannot tell me like the school teacher in Mattoon, Illinois told me. She said, I really don't need the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and serve Jesus, but I don't need him. She said, I'm a school teacher. And she said, I've helped thousands of children learn. She said, I've never told a lie, preacher. I've never said a curse word. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never drank a drop of alcohol. I've never used drugs. She said, I really don't need Jesus. She was exactly like the Pharisees. You might picture yourself as perfect, but I can tell you that according to the Word of God, that your issue is self-righteousness, and self-righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. The number one ingredient you need to touch Jesus is you've got to have a problem. And so the truth is, from the back pew to the pulpit, everybody in this building qualifies. We've all got issues. That means we're a third way there. We're almost there. We're one third of touching Jesus Christ. There is something else that you have to look at, and that is you have to become hopeless. At some time in your life, you've got to be able to look at your bank account and say, that's not it. You've got to look at your talent and say, that's not it. You've got to look at your abilities and say, that's not it. You've got to look at your friends and say, that's not it. You've got to look at your accomplishment and say, that's not it. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how powerful you are in your strength and your youth and your health, there's going to come a day when the doctors are going to look at your family and say, we've done all you can do. Say your goodbyes. The truth is, we've got to realize that without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Jesus, we can't make it. Without Jesus, we can't live, we can't die, and we can't resurrect. There has to be a hopelessness that comes to us. We have to be like the woman that said, I've spent all I had and nobody can help me. Friend, the moment that you realize you've got an issue and you are literally powerless and hopeless to resolve that, you're two-thirds there, the way to touch Jesus Christ. But now there's one thing that yet remains. The third is, and that is this. The Bible said when she heard of Jesus, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible said, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. This woman had an issue. Her spirit was indomitable. It could not be in any way quenched. She simply would not stop. But praise God, she had the one quality that so many people are missing. She had faith. No matter how great my issues are, no matter how hopeless I feel, my hope is in God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that no matter what's going on in this world, no matter who resides in the White House, no matter what's happening at my job, I want to tell you this. I've got faith in God, that my God is able. I have cast all my cares on him. I have taken all my issues to him, and I reach out today. When you see me preaching, when you see me praying, when you see me praising, it all comes with one thing, and that is I'm reaching out to touch Jesus Christ, because I believe he's everything the Bible said he was. I believe he is the creator. I believe he is the redeemer. I believe he is the life giver. I believe he is the healer. I believe he is the restorer. I believe he is the lifter up of my head. I believe he makes a way where there is no way. I've got ultimate faith in Jesus Christ, that he is what the Bible said he was, the Alpha, the Omega, the Almighty. I believe that he conquered all of my issues, which are sin and death and hell and the grave. I believe in Jesus Christ. And so that's the reason why I've set an order, a church for 45 years that allows people to be excessive. We don't set people down when they run. We don't set people down when they shout. We don't set people when they're down when they're apparently excessive in their praise and worship. Why? We believe that Jesus Christ, that is excessive in his mercy, excessive in his grace, excessive in his power, is worthy of excessive praise. And so we don't have stones. We've got people that used to have issues that crawled up from behind. The Bible said she came from behind. He's for the down and outer, those that come from behind. Whoever you are, the answer to your issue is one thing, is that you touch Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, a human becomes supernatural. Suddenly the power of God flows inside of you. You're not the woman or the man your mother birthed. You are a son of God, the creation of Almighty God. And you said, hell, take your best shot. I'm still standing. You say, world, do what you can. I'm still here. I'm still praising. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've learned what it is to touch Jesus Christ. I've had a few friends across this country die, pastor friends die from the virus. Yesterday they put my best friend in the Houston hospital. He has pneumonia and the coronavirus. And so I realized this is a real problem, but friend, it in no way affects my faith in Christ. Christ alone is my hope. And so every day I pray. I call many names from this congregation. I call many names around this country. I plead the blood over myself, over Becky, over Pastor Brandon, his family, Sean, over you, your family. I speak as a canopy over this place. Let the blood of Jesus prevail. 2 miles from here is a little church called Calvary Chapel, right over here in the shopping center. They had 50 people have the coronavirus this week. We haven't had one, as far as I know, in our active congregation. I'm praying for Calvary Chapel today. Two of them are on respirators. I'm praying for Calvary Chapel that they'll all be healed. You know, the God that I know is not just the God of Living Way. He's the God of Calvary Chapel. He's the God of Texas and New York. He's the God of America and the God of this world. I plead the blood, and that is my message. I'm pleading the blood over Living Way Church, but every time I hear of another case, I speak the blood of Jesus Christ, because we are facing a real issue in this world and in America, and there's only one thing. It's the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. It is the power of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you to pray, not for revival. It's coming. I'm asking you to pray that God will drive this terrible virus back, and he will heal our land. Not only Calvary Chapel, but every human being in San Antonio. Friend, I believe we've got power. We just need to reach out and touch him. And you can if you recognize there is an issue. If you recognize that there is no hope in this world. And if you recognize my faith is only in the Lord God Almighty. And there is none like him. The governor of New York said, we don't need God. We need science. Now, you can rebuke that governor, but a better thing is to pray for that governor. There was a time when you didn't have faith. There was a time when you didn't have now. Out of all of this death and destruction, we can have some governors get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost. We can have some politicians have a turnaround. We can have some old dead churches become alive. Friend, I know the devil means it for evil. But praise God, there could be one of you that would step out of a lion's den and said, I've been there and I don't have one lion back. There could be one of you step out and said, I've been in the fiery furnace, but the smell of smoke is not on my clothes. There could be one of you walk out of Philippian jail and say, we've come here to establish the greatest New Testament church in Philippi that's in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, these are tough times, but these are opportunistic times where we can reach out and touch Jesus and make a difference in our life, our family's life, our church life, our city's life, our friend's life, our enemy's life. These are our times. We need to step up. Praise like you've never praised. Let your faith go like you've never let it go. Let God know that your faith has not waned in this trying hour. Will you lift up both hands and let there be a roar of praise in this building today? In the name of Jesus. I want somebody that wants to touch Jesus to walk down this aisle today. Thank you, brother, for coming. There are others.